is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Oh, hey, y'all. It's Bran, and I love Netflix Christmas movies.
Oh, hi. How y'all doing today? I'm Dan. I despise this bit and Netflix Christmas movies.
Well, hey, y'all. I'm Alonzo, and I take Netflix Christmas movies very much on a case-by-case basis.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Yeah.
Another week, another day, another week and another day. What are we going to watch?
Princess Switch.
How are we going to watch it?
Princess Switch.
On Netflix.
We didn't talk this through. Our show prep is usually line by line,
so
rigid, but we threw that in at the last minute.
And that's on me. That's on
you.
But you know what? Kudos to you for hanging with
me. I'm doing the best I can.
Kudos to you.
If we go off script, I'm in trouble.
You're usually just like, oh. You did it today. Guys, happy Monday. Alonzo, happy Monday to you. Is it June? What are we here?
June?
Is it May?
No. It's the 26th of April. Jiminy Christmas. I get it. We're all looking forward to vacation. The week of May 10th, if you go to your podcast player for New Deck the Hallmark episodes, you're going to be out of luck because we're not going to be here for any of it. But we're not there yet, Brand. We've got things to do for a few more weeks. Like the Princess Switch movies,
that's right.
For instance.
Woo!
Because we get to do the next one next week. Right?
Look, we get done with April. That means the first third of the year is done. And, you know, what for people like Brand and me, that just means that much closer to Christmas.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
That's why
exactly
you want it to be June. You're just skipping ahead. You're like Adam Sandler and Click. Like, get me past all the things I don't care about.
I talked about it last week. I'm in summer mode now.
Yes.
Because my summer ends in July when Christmas in July starts. And then I can't turn it off at that point. I'm all Christmas. I mean, I know we're watching Christmas movies all year now.
Yeah.
Which has been wonderful for the most part. but July, I'm just
May
very
I remind
excited.
You of One Royal Baby.
Yeah, One Royal Baby was a low point. It was a low point.
There's not going to be low points here because we get Princess Switch, then we get Princess Switch 2, and then we get Vacation.
Yeah.
and then we come back.
Alonzo's birthday,
and he has picked a movie that's 50 years old. And that's not, I'm only exaggerating by 1 year, I believe.
Back when television was radio.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Is this movie in Technicolor, Alonzo?
It's just a little Orphan Annie show.
It's a series of daguerreotypes that runs through them really fast to simulate motion.
That's right. I love it.
You sure
drink
your old scene. I'm very excited. Alonzo, how are you doing? Are you like getting excited for Christmas in July like me?
Yeah, you know, it's those way stations along the way. There's Leon Day in June.
Yes,
now,
of course, June 25th.
You know, there's then of course, yeah, Christmas in July, where you know Hallmark will of course pull out the stops. And then yeah, from there it's just like it's a straight shot. And of course, really the big goal here is, you know, late September.
That's
when
right.
I'll Be Home for Christmas movies comes out.
Woo!
That's
right.
Yeah. Very excited.
That is the actual official start of Christmas season.
That's right.
For this year, for 2021.
Very excited, guys.
We do the book release, and then a month later we do the marathon, and then we're actually in Christmas season.
I have to believe we are getting close to Hallmark and Lifetime announcing the numbers, right? They usually before July, at least, we get a hey, this is our target number for the year. We haven't gotten it yet.
Based on my old like Facebook memories, usually by this time of year they've got something going on. But obviously, you know, we were coming off the pandemic; all bets are off. So yeah, they'll tell us when they tell us.
They'll tell us when they tell us.
I got to be honest. The one thing that's over the last 3 years doing this podcast, I was a big Christmas doesn't start until Thanksgiving's over guy, and I still am that way with Christmas music and some other things. But because we do this, the season does really officially kick off for me. After the marathon, like there's something about the marathon that just shifts us into Christmas. Maybe it's because I got to watch Christmas movies all the time. So that's a big deal.
Could be.
So we do all the tradition stuff. We get it all going.
Well, I'm excited about this, the Princess Switch.
Oh,
now
who
this,
be?
I'll say now, I had never seen it.
Had you seen it, Alonzo?
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. So this was 2018. This came out November 16th, 2018. This was like the week before Thanksgiving week, our first season. Wow. So I didn't see this. It didn't.
We were in the thick of it.
I didn't get
to watch it. Yeah. in the season one for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So I was very excited that we were finally getting to watch this. You guys want to talk about? You ready to do this?
Do you want to do what?
You want to talk about? Yo, I've been practicing real hard. Say, go bring you a saxophone. Okay. The Princess Switch originally out on November 16th, 2018. And it went a little something like this. Stacy, she's a young baker from Chicago. She runs a new pastry shop. The word's getting out, though, and she runs it with her good old pal, Kevin. A week before Christmas, Kevin tells Stacy that that he's entered them into a prestigious baking competition in the kingdom of Belgravia. And they were accepted. She's not as pumped as you might think about this because she's currently pretty bummed that this Christmas is happening. She just had a recent breakup of like, I think 3 years, and then they broke up right before Christmas. So she's bummed. And she's walking down the street. She gives money to this guy on the street, and he's like, I hope all your Christmas dreams come true. And she's like, great. Then she sees her ex, and she's like, this guy's good. All my dreams are coming true. Except it's not, because he's making out with a new girl. So to make it seem like she has a lot of stuff going on in her life, she's like, we're going to Belgravia. Kevin and his daughter Olivia are joining the fun. They arrive in Belgravia. They go sightseeing. They meet a Christmas stocking seller who does look like the guy that they gave money to back in Chicago. He's like, hey, here's some advice for you. Live spontaneously. Thank you, sir. Later, she's prepping for the competition, and she sees a former classmate from cooking. What is it? Culinary school?
Yeah, sure. That's the one.
Her name's Brianna.
Cooking school.
Cooking school. Hi, welcome to cooking school. Her name's Brianna. She is the defending champion. She's also just a real jerk face and spills coffee on Stacy's apron, clearly on purpose, like a monster, forcing her to go get a new one backstage. And when she's backstage, she bumps into Lady Margaret Delacour, Duchess of Montenegro.
You got it.
I won't say it again. It's Margaret, everybody. Margaret's the fiance of the Prince of Belgravia named Edward. For unknown reasons, they look identical. And desperate for some time out of the spotlight, Margaret says, hey, we should do a little switcheroo for 2 days, and then we'll switch back, and it's all before the competition, and it'll all be good. And they both say, let's do this. And to help get Stacy on board, she's like, hey, will you, is there any way Olivia, this little girl of my partner, can go to ballet program? And she's like, no problem. Stacy and Margaret quickly teach each other their lives, their behaviors, secret handshakes, everything that you need to know. They do it. And Olivia immediately discovers the switch, but keeps it a secret because she's getting to hang out with a princess, essentially. Meanwhile, Prince Edward, who was supposed to be out of town for business for 2 days, so it wasn't going to be a big deal with the switch. He's not going to do that anymore. He wants to hang out with his fiance. Stacy's a little frazzled by this. What can you do? We meet King, the King George. He is a little, feels like something's going on. So he gets Frank, his butler, to watch her like a hawk. Despite falling off a horse, Stacy adapts to this life, beginning to fall in love with Prince Edward, especially after they do a sick piano duo and slow dance at a ball. That's all it takes for love. Margaret falls in love with Kevin, especially after a classic snowball fight. And we also get to see Kevin with his shirt off, which the world is better for. One day, Stacy and Prince Edward go to a toy store to buy some toys for some kids. And this is crazy. You're not going to believe this. Margaret and Kevin, same toy store. Luckily, they're able to make it out unseen. Stacy and Prince Edward go to bring some toys to some kids in need. They end up under a mistletoe. They do a little smooch smooch. Then Margaret and Kevin kiss, and she's like, uh-oh, this is bad news. It's time to switch back because it's the night before the big competition, and they realize they are both in love with each other's guy, so to speak. Kevin's not her guy, but you get it.
You got it.
And we then see Brianna sneak into the studio there and cut the cord to Stacy's mixer. How's she going to bake cakes? I don't know. Creepball Frank photographs Margaret and Stacy together, showing that they have swapped identities, and then he falls to what I can only assume will lead to his death. Just kidding. He's still alive, everybody. No problems. He wants to give those to the king, but the queen intercepts it, sees it, and hatches up a plan where she's going to send Margaret to the competition in her stead to award the winner. And so they're going to be in the same room at the same time. The competition's happening. Stacy discovers that Brianna has cut her mixer. And so they have to mix all the ingredients by hand. But don't worry, she still bakes a ginormous cake and ends up winning first prize, the medals. It's medal time, baby. And Margaret and Prince Edward are there to give the medals out. Stacy tries to avoid the competition, but Kevin's like, hey, we got to do this. Medal time, baby. And Kevin sees Margaret and is like, WTF. And Margaret and Stacy reveal the plot to the guys. It's like, hey, we did a little switcheroo. We're in love with you guys and all that stuff. Margaret says, Kevin, I'm in love with you. And Kevin's like, dope, let's do this thing. Stacy, though, walks away feeling like, you know, this is royal life. I can't do this. And Edward says, listen, I'm in love with you. Give me 1 year. And if you're still in love with me in 1 year, we'll get married. 1 year later, they get married. So I guess it's all working out. Everybody's there for the wedding. She throws the bouquet and Margaret catches it. And Kevin is like, hey, I guess you should hold on to that for New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. They kiss. We're all loving it. And that, my friends, was the Princess Switch.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
We did it.
We did do it, everybody. It's very excited stuff, to break it down. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll share our hot takes and all that good stuff here on Deck the Hallmark.
Oh,
we're back.
Yeah. Here we go.
Princess switching. No switching.
No snitching.
No snitching. Let's break this movie down. We're going to start with our hot take where we share exactly how we felt about this movie. I saw to the lady who commented last week on our Snowed in
this
Christmas.
This is how to best handle the comments.
Yeah. To the lady who commented last week on the Snowed in Christmas and was like, you guys were so, you loved the movie, but then you got mean and you started picking it apart. What's up with that? That is also going to happen here.
That's,
so I just want to give you the warning.
Literally
that's the
every
show.
Episode
that
of
is the show.
That's the show.
Yes.
So if you get another one of these where we're like, we love the movie, and then I also have, I think the most wait what's I've ever had.
Wow.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just want you to know that's the show.
That's
Alonzo?
The show.
Criticism isn't mean.
No.
It is just we're evaluating art.
That's right.
Of course.
So when I say a film is utter garbage, yes. Not trying to be mean.
No.
It's an evaluation of art. It's all
Alonzo, what'd you think?
Watching this again made me realize that I think, you know, when we look at the Hallmark movies, there's kind of a division between them. There are the actresses who... I mean, the movies are all female-centered, and that's great. But there are the lead actresses who are very much about, like, being half of a couple and part of an ensemble and sharing the screen. And those are the ones, like, that I think you guys are the biggest fans of, the ones who tend to be on the show. Your Nikki DeLoach's, your Jill Wagner's. And then you have the ones where it's like, y'all are here to see me, and this is going to be about me. And the guy, I could fall in love with a broom, but you're here to see me. And this is one of those movies. But here's the thing. Vanessa Hudgens is so dang charming and funny and such a good actress that I would much rather see a movie that's all about her than all about the people at Hallmark, for example, who get the movies that are very much about just them.
See me? Oh, I'm excuse me.
Not naming any names, but you know who we're talking about. But yeah, this is a silly movie, and it is It is totally the Vanessa Hudgens show, but Vanessa Hudgens can bear the Vanessa Hudgens show because she brings a lot to the table. And so to watch her and to watch her play these two different characters and play these characters playing each other, which is always the fun thing about these twin movies, it's fun. I had a good time.
I have made it clear on the show that I unironically love High School Musical. So it should come to no surprise that I am a Vanessa Hudgens fan, having grown up with Vanessa, not in person.
You
but
and
like,
Vanessa, me same and Vanessa, high school.
We go way back, me and Bean. And she's great in this movie. She does, you know, she's playing two different characters, falling in love with two different guys, and both felt unique, which was great to see. You know, we've seen other...
Do you think she watched Switch for Christmas took notes on how to do this?
We've seen other twin movies where they have unique personalities, but they blur together pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That didn't happen in this movie. Both of these characters and these couples felt unique and felt different and felt like they were their own thing, which was great. Thought the pacing was good in this movie. There's so many things to poke fun at in this movie, which I think is part of the fun. But it was really, really great. I loved it, and I'm bummed that I just now watched it for the first time.
So I said to Bran before we recorded that Vanessa Hudgens is becoming kind of the CCB of Hallmark, of Netflix Christmas movies, in that she's going to be in one every year. And the thing is, she is so much better than CCB. She is incredibly charming, to echo what Alonzo was like. It, adorable, charming, fun. You buy what she's doing. You buy what she's selling. I hated The Night Before Christmas. We did it at Christmasland. It was a bad, bad movie, and she still was pretty good in it. This is a better movie than that one. It's better than A Christmas Prince as well. It may be the best Netflix Christmas movie this side of Jingle Jangle that I've watched so far. I've not watched many, but it is entirely too long. It is, it's an hour 41 and compared to an hour 23. And it, with about 25 minutes left, I was dragging a good deal, and her charm carries the movie, but the wheels start to, for me, the momentum did not build. As soon as everybody kisses, like the wheels start to wobble and things start to fall apart pretty quickly. So better than your standard Hallmark fare. Vanessa Hudgens is charming and wonderful, but not...
We'll have to circle back, though, when Vanessa has been doing it for as many
years,
after year, as CCB. Like, she still seems like she's having fun.
She does.
Where CCB, we've always said, just kind of seems like it's just happening.
CCB's done over, a dozen of these? Like, she's done so many.
Now, Dan, do you feel like, because you've seen, you know, like, hundreds these Hallmark movies, and because they are so rigidly structured in terms of their 9-act structure and they have to the certain running time, do you feel like it's sort of this Pavlovian response where if a movie goes any longer than that, it just automatically feels
so
too long? Or
this is, my wife watched this movie with me, which my wife has watched, we've watched 300 some of these. She maybe has watched 4 movies total with me, and we're talking under 1% that she's watched.
Sure.
And she had a good time. And I said to her, there's about 30 or 40 minutes left. And I said, this movie is just, it just feels long. And she was like, I was thinking the same thing. And I said, well, the reason I didn't say it initially is because after 83 minutes, they all feel long. They do. But this did feel like the gambit doesn't wear off because Hudgens is wonderful in both roles. But after a while, it's like, man, does the baking competition matter at all? No one's practiced for this. No one cares. We have a very, very specific use for a stand mixer that we'll get to later. Like, there's so much about the baking competition that just is out there, and I feel like we just never get to it. And then it happens, and then we still have a few scenes left. And so it was too long.
That's fair. Yeah. I just thought I'd ask.
I think Vanessa Hudgens would be great in a Hallmark movie. Like if you gave her an 83-minute movie, she would be just wonderful. Just she super
costs
charming.
Too much.
Yeah, probably.
She has to cost too much, right? Yeah. Like Netflix is probably paying her more.
Oh, this movie definitely, the budget for this movie had to be higher than Hallmark movies. Had to be.
Yeah.
I want to know how it competes though. Like, I would imagine that Candace got paid more for Switch for Christmas because it's two different characters, double?
No, you get the same amount.
You think so?
You get the same amount.
Even though you're playing two characters?
Yeah, I think Candace makes a lot of money because her movie gets so many views nowadays. And I think she, I mean, I can imagine that her movies are, you know, they say it's a $2 million budget for every movie, but her movies have to be more than a $2 million budget just because they got to be paying her a pretty good amount to do a Christmas movie. That's a guess on my part, but...
Man, I wish Netflix shared their ratings because it would just be fascinating to know like how much how many people saw this movie.
So many more people have Netflix in their home than have Hallmark around the world.
Like, true.
It would not be apples and oranges. I guarantee you more than 3 million people watched The Princess Switch. Like we're, you know, the number of people that have Netflix in their home, like you're tens of millions of people watch The Princess Switch, if not 100 million. That would be my guess.
But you know, I'm sure for Hallmark, like they're very rerunnable and they get decent numbers. Whereas like Netflix, I'm sure it's more just a ripple effect of how many times people rewatch it or catch up to it later. You know, and you have to remember that I'm sure whatever CCB's deal is with Hallmark, it's an overarching one that includes like the mysteries that she does,
producing as well,
other stuff like that.
I just feel like she would have to be able to make more at Netflix though, right? Like with Fuller House there as well.
I think it'd be a one shot. Though Netflix would try to lure her with one big, like, we'll give you $10 million, come over and make one movie, and then she makes
they're not going to do Aurora Tea Garden.
That's right, they're not going to do all that other stuff, and she gets to call the shots where she is. She's got it pretty good. My biggest question about this movie though, and this is huge, and it's not a wait what, it's how in the love of everything good and decent are they going to make another one of these? Switched again? That's what it's called.
Do you want me to tell me.
We're going to do it next week.
I'm positing out loud. Why would they switch again? Why?
You'll see.
They do switch though.
Alonso, is it buyable in any stretch?
I mean, if you bought it this time, you're asked to suspend your disbelief even further. But they up the ante.
Anything other than Alonzo saying yes immediately was not fine.
But no, I understand what he's saying because the amount of time they spent explaining them being identical twins. Like, it's just like, oh, we must be.
You must be cousins in New Jersey.
I have never seen two cousins.
No. And that to me is whatever. But the fact is, after everyone knows, both significant others know, who are we fooling with the switch? I know. I get it. We'll patience. Do it next time.
You will see. Trust patience. Me.
Well, because at the end of the movie, he's like, if you're still in love with me this time next year, we'll get married. I'm like, oh, that's the sequel. And then they like flash forward a year.
No.
And it's like, nope. And then I looked, it just switched again. I was like, no, why would you switch again? Now we're just in an episode of Big Love.
Well, I like it though, because they could have easily just made next movie all about Kevin and Margaret.
Yeah.
True. And now they don't have to.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it will be in a sense.
Trust me, the Princess Switch Brain Trust has more up their sleeve.
Oh, you'll be
pleasantly surprised.
I was worried.
I will say,
I saw Princess Switch Brain Trust live, and they were solid.
I forgot to say this in my hot take. I took Prince
Edward.
They opened
for string cheese incident.
We can all agree Prince Edward is a snooze, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like Kevin. Like how in any world are you more attracted to Prince Edward than you are to Kevin?
I will say this, and we're just seeping right into the Wait What segment, but I do feel like Kevin got the charisma and charm, but none of the brains of the operation. He's a dummy dumb. He is not smart, but he looks good and he's charming and he's very dynamic. Prince Edward is smart, like catches on a little quicker, starts to pick up on body language and stuff. But is not nearly as dynamic or has any charisma like Kevin does. So
it's just a boring turd.
Yeah. I get it. He's boring, but Kevin's dumb.
Yeah. But real
dumb. Choice is sweet, dope, and like smart dullard.
That's right. Yeah.
give me sweet dope any day. It's time for all the feels part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gave us his feels. Alonzo.
You know, I just wrote down in all caps, V HUD.
Yeah, yeah.
Because really, this is all this movie has going for it is Vanessa Hudgens, but it has Vanessa Hudgens, you know, aplenty. I thought her scenes with herself were really funny. I was, we've talked about this before with like twin movies and stuff, but, or maybe I think Dan and I did on a film and a movie episode. It's all blurring together now, but there is a moment in this movie in which you see the baker walk and you see the princess walk, and then you see the baker try to do the princess walk and the princess try to do the baker walk. And that is like next level sort of physical control and, you know, movement skills. And that's just one, that's a tiny piece of the performance that she's giving here. So yeah, my feels are just like Vanessa Hudgens can do it all.
I have two. One, Netflix. Go Wildcats. Get your hand in the game, baby.
I've never seen any of them.
Oh gosh, I'd love to sit down and watch them with you.
I would not.
Dan, the first one is really fun.
No, it isn't.
Actually, the first two are really.
The first two are really fun.
Yeah,
but the third one—that's where we lose it.
I will say, I never actually did see the third one.
It's. Because okay,
the third one actually went to theaters, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's where you lost me. Listen, Disney Channel original movies are not meant for the big screen.
Said it for years. Yeah.
What are we doing, guys?
All the feels.
But the first two are great.
Okay, if you say so.
Can you do this with me?
What do you mean do it with you? What time do we have to watch High School Musical?
Fun times.
On the weekend?
Fun times. No, we'll get together. at sometime this summer. We'll live stream it for Bramble Jam Plus subscribers. Us watching and you responding in real time.
Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever.
Anytime I bring in Bramble Jam Plus, you say yes. It's great.
I can get you to do it. If people want us to do it here, leave it in the comments.
We'll do it here on this show? I got it. Well, I guess I have to talk about it afterwards. We could do that. We can do whatever we want on Deck the Hallmark.
Do whatever we want.
That's right. Yeah. Let's do High School Musical. Gosh, why not?
I did.
That gets me out of another like bad Christmas movie. It's got to be better than at least different. Right?
Disney Channel original movies, were my original hallmark.
Yes.
So I have a very soft spot in my heart, and I was going to start a Disney Channel original movie podcast early on when we started the network, and then it didn't happen. And so here we are. Just give me an excuse to.
Thank
do it
goodness.
I have two. One, they did this in the night before Christmas as well, and so I don't know if it's just a thing that they do. But they sit down to watch a Netflix Christmas movie.
Oh, it's so dumb.
I love
that's
it.
In my wait, what?
I love the meta-ness of it. I love it. It's just funny to me. I love that they do it. I would love, they do it once in a Hallmark movie where they turn it on. They're like in the hospital and they're watching Rocky Mountain Christmas.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I like it.
Can I unpack something here?
Go ahead.
Quick? So yeah, it is fun, the idea that they sit down to watch the Christmas Prince, except in the third Christmas Prince movie, guess what country is between Aldovia and Penglia?
Belgravia.
Oh, so that means that the events of A Christmas Prince are taking place nearby. So is she watching a documentary?
That's right. She's watching.
What's going on?
She's watching a documentary. Ken Burns. Ken Burns is a Christmas Prince. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a riot.
They played the bit too far.
They play it way too far.
Whatever, guys.
I have a
hold on.
Oh,
I'm not done.
Done? Good gracious.
I have one more.
Stop talking about High School Musical so much.
I won't anymore. It's Kevin with his shirt off. Hallmark, I don't know what I have to do to get you to just give the people what they want. We want 10 seconds of guys like Kevin with their shirt off. It's great. And I thought Margaret was wonderful in this because it felt as if she had never seen a guy with his shirt off in her life. It was fantastic. I loved that scene. I just don't know what we need to do, Hallmark. Just give us five seconds of Andrew Walker with his shirt off.
Why are you the mouthpiece for like housewives across America right now?
Because they need to be represented in the culture. No, I'll tell you, they just did a whole Ireland movie with Alan Leach from Downton Abbey, and that is a dude you want to have with his shirt off.
Just five seconds.
Just leaving money on the table.
What are they thinking? Yeah, clearly.
Like, I think they're overthinking this whole like, it's a safe place. It's a safe place, but like, just give us the abs for a second.
TVG. Yeah,
TVG.
Yes. Children can handle seeing a man in a bathing suit. It's not going to scar them for life.
Come on.
Especially if it's Kevin. Am I right, guys?
What's the actor's name?
I don't know.
Hang on.
Wait, no, several of us are scrambling for our phones over here.
Kevin. Nick Sagar. Yeah, he's
I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming, but then the rest of the movie, I just kept seeing his biceps in his shirt. I was like, okay, I see it now. It's all coming together.
Kevin,
my guy.
Dan? My all the feels is a specific Vanessa Hudgens moment, and very rarely does physical comedy work in these movies, if at all. I don't remember. Do you remember another time in a Christmas TV movie where physical comedy really is just they nail it? I don't remember one. Vanessa Hudgens does it all movie long, but when she's doing the horse bit,
yeah.
And she does the stretch. It's the stretch. Yeah. She does the full flip over the horse, which is ridiculous. And then she's like, I got to get stretched out. That stretch that she does is funny. Like, it's legitimately funny. I laughed aloud. I was like, that's a cute bit, man. That's really funny. So kudos to her, because I really, very rarely do I get like physical comedy feels from these movies. And she nailed it. She did a really good job. That was a really fun bit.
I love it. Let's take one more break. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wait What's here on Deck the Hallmark.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
back, baby. We're back. We're talking about Princess Switch, and we are at the Wait What, and I will start with Megan for Alonzo. Alonzo, what you got?
I have fewer than you might think, just because I think this is the kind of movie where you're already asked to swallow such a That's gigantic right. yep. central conceit that anything beyond that is like, okay, sure, why not? So they go to visit the orphanage. They realize that the kids don't all get presents. And they're like, no, we need to work on that. And she says, well, we have a free afternoon. Which means that we can buy presents, wrap presents, right. and bake cookies.
Got
sure. Yeah, you got 4 hours. Why not?
Well, that's when she says she's going to be gone an hour, and she is gone the rest of the evening. But in one afternoon, they also do the full Princess Switch in one afternoon. Mm. They learn the walk, the talk, True. They learn the family tree, they get a haircut.
Secret handshake.
Style, handshake, the whole bit. They do it all.
No, absolutely. And the thing that, is from all of that, I was never clear, and I don't know if the baker was very clear on this either, but like, how close are Margaret and Edward? Like, this is obviously an arranged marriage. It's obviously not like a big love match, but like, have they hung out? Do they know each other well? Like, is it going to be obvious to him that somebody is faking? Or like, I don't know. I didn't get any impression of like, you know, is this such an arranged marriage they've never met before? Like, I don't even know.
Well, so they said they met twice before the engagement. Yeah. I don't know if there's been any interaction from engaged. I don't know how long ago they got engaged.
Gotcha.
So from engagement to this, yes, I don't know.
But information that Stacey might have benefited from knowing.
Why? And that my biggest wait. What? While Prince Edward doesn't exactly come out and figure out what's going on, he starts to read the body language of her, of Stacey, and starts to get to know her more, and starts to pursue the relationship more. Like, if one of these two people should be able to read body language and figure this out, it's Kevin, who works True. With this girl every day, and that joker can't do it. He has no ability to be like, something's off here. He's just like, hey, Stacey. He doesn't do it at all. And I don't understand how the prince is like, met this girl twice and he's starting to like put things together. Her body language is different. Kevin is just like, oh, we bake together every day. She seems good. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. It's not possible, Kev.
Kevo. Kevin's just down to clown, baby.
You look great, Kev.
Just down to clown.
Spending a lot of time in the gym.
That's right.
It's paying off.
That's right.
The other thing is, like, that is the worst espionage. the cutting the power line to the standing mixer. It's like, for one thing, they would have noticed it way earlier.
Yes.
Because generally when you're making a cake, one of the first things you do is cream the sugar with the butter.
There we go.
And you're going to do that in your KitchenAid. And so like, what? Unplugged? So, you know, and then, yeah, they are able to do things by hand when they need to. And frankly, the competition should have a backup waiting because it's the wire got cut. So I like, you know, what was the one from this year? The mix up in the Mediterranean, yeah. Like the power goes out and all the food in the fridge, you know, rots. That's a thing. That's a hurdle you have to get over and figure out. But snipping the wire.
The only reason I gave him a pass on that was that they were supposed to come in like 2 days before to prep it all. So if you didn't catch it when it was prepping, then that's on you. But obviously it wasn't.
I couldn't get over the fact that she's making an entire cake and the only thing I don't know cakes. I don't bake. The only thing she needs that stand mixer for is berries. That's it. Everything else she's doing by hand and it's part of it. But the berries.
They pull a full tier out of the oven. Like, it's mixing time, y'all.
Eggs and the flour got it right here, but the berries.
That's right. This cake is almost done. I need the stand mixer for the bear. Oh, no. How are we ever going to recover?
Well, I think this is how Kevin got so ripped. Is he's just trying to see everything by hand. That's right.
Let's go. My guy. Yeah. I have a couple. Was that it, Alonso? I think you said that was it.
That's all I got. Okay. That's all I got.
This is just I don't know why I noticed this, because it happens all the time in movies like this, but when they show the plane lifting off and she's on her way to Belgravia, for reasons unknown to me, they put a voiceover in that just says, "I'm going to Belgravia." Who are you telling?
Who Test are you audiences were confused right. by why a plane was taking
That's right.
Hey, guys, maybe we didn't make it clear when she told Kevin, "Hey, I'm going to Belgravia." Let's put it in one more time. Just double down.
The ADR.
That's right. Why were they painting only half an ornament? They're doing like the L ornament thing, and the ornament's cut in half. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like a better for grabbing. I don't know. She said that she's never been to a sing-along before, and I'm just here to say High School Musical, baby. Her toothpaste was on her dresser for some reason. Kevin comes in and says, "Hey, you got your toothpaste?" And she says it's on the dresser. That is not where a duchess would keep her toothpaste. I'm here to tell you that.
Or any human being.
That's exactly right. Why do they have mistletoe in a kid's home?
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's a sketchy. That's a sketchy place for mistletoe. I don't know what type of operation you're running.
That's up there for me.
Yeah.
The mistletoe in the kid's home was I couldn't, I just yes. like.
I didn't make that connection, but now I can never unsee it.
Margaret at one point says, "Normal girls fall in love with normal boys." That's a line you say when you're not normal. That's right. Not a normal line. Normal girls fall in love with normal boys. That should have been, that's how you know Kev, something's afoot, Kev.
Come on, Kev, put it together.
And she's a baker. She bakes cakes. We've seen a cake. It looks great. The cake at the wedding was awful. Was not a good looking cake. I don't know.
She wasn't going to bake her own cake.
She wasn't going to bake her own cake, and that was an issue.
This is what happens when Kevin doesn't have her around.
If Kevin made it on his own, and this is what you wind up
with. Oh, Kevin.
This movie is like this. To quote John Lennon, who they mentioned several times, a double fantasy. Because usually these movies are like, oh, she's a baker. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or, oh, she's a princess. Wouldn't that be awesome? This is a baker who becomes a princess, and ostensibly a duchess. Who becomes a baker, maybe. I don't know.
But I mean,
that's they're just really rounding the bases on this.
That's dangerous fantasy territory there.
It's dangerous, yeah. They don't even know what to do with it.
I am very concerned about a 56-year-old baking competition that determines its nominees based upon a recipe card, because that is what happens. Kevin says he sends in a recipe card, and they're like, "Hey, this checks out. This is a good recipe. Come and be a part of our international baking competition. We don't need to see you bake. We don't need to taste the food. The recipe looks great." That is not a qualification for being in a baking competition. It just isn't. There needs to be something else that happens there. I'm not super picky on where they film these things, but if you look really closely, Belgravia looks an awful lot like a film set. It does not look like a place at all. It looks like they are in a studio somewhere for the majority of Belgravia, and that bothered me because that means they didn't even try to like create something that was a place anywhere. They just were like, "Yeah, let's do it inside. Let's do it inside. This looks good to me."
They shot it in Romania, which is where a lot of low-budget films
did. They really?
Yeah.
It looks like it's all on a studio lot. Like, even the outside stuff looks like it's a studio lot.
But I mean, but a lot of low-budget film gets made there, so it is on a studio lot.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
In Romania.
They had to travel to Romania to be on a studio lot. That's brutal. I just want to be clear. Lady Margaret straight up lies to Stacy. She's like, look, learn the family tree, talk about the weather. That's all you have to do. No. She has to go to a ball, like a full, but dress up and wear a tiara and go to a ball, like an actual, and I get her, you know, husband to be wasn't supposed to be in town, but these things were still on the calendar for her that she had to do. It's not just learn the family tree and talk about the weather. You had things to do. And then she says that the homegirl, what's her name? The redheaded girl that's supposed to be there to like help her.
Marianne or whatever.
Yeah, Marianne will be here and she knows.
Oh, no, sorry. Marianne's the villain, sorry. Mrs. Donatelli.
Mrs. Donatelli's going to be here the whole time and she knows the bit, so you'll be fine. Mrs. Donatelli is conveniently absent at the worst times. Like every time you're looking for her, she had to run some towels down to the washroom or something. It's like every time it's like, oh no, Stacy needs some help here. Where's Mrs. Oh, dang it. She's gone again. She's never there when we need her to be there. And I don't understand that. The temperatures are below freezing. There's a frostbite warning, according to the king. And Stacy, with a backless, strapless dress, just goes outside in the snow and sits in a gazebo to gather her thoughts for what appears to be a half an hour.
I mean, and no one's breath is visible, of course.
No, Vanessa Hudgens is like 5'1", 8 pounds. She is out there. She is frozen solid. Like she is an icicle. Now it's done. It's over. There's just no, I just can't believe that they let that slide. When they are on horseback, the green screen is terrible.
Ooh, yeah.
It is so, so bad in this movie, but they did it anyway. I do want to get this straight about this baking competition. The audience and the judges all sit down and they go, okay, 5 hours, put it on the clock. And everybody sits for 5 hours and just watches people bake? 5 hours? This isn't Chopped. 5 hours? Yeah. You're gonna
it's
see,
riveting stuff.
Dude. It's just there's what?
You get to see those eggs crack, pal.
And you know what? Since we're doing a 5 hour,
you get to see Kevin just mix things for 5 hours straight.
That's right.
Every so often, Howie Mandel comes out and really warms up the
fist
crowd.
Fist bumps everybody. Since we're gonna be there for 5 straight hours, why don't we leave an 8-year-old unattended in the bleachers? Could we do that? Oh, we can. Perfect. 8-year-old unattended. And you know what? At the end of the movie, they have Lady Donatelli and the other guy come up with her acting like they've been watching her the whole time, which is BS because they didn't show up until the royals showed up. They just left an 8-year-old alone in a foreign country, just sitting in the stands. I don't even,
she's mature for her age.
Yeah, she's mature for her age. Okay, she's 8 and she's in a foreign country.
She's doing the best she can.
Jiminy Christmas, are you kidding me? And lastly, and this is just me, and you just need to take it to the tape. It was almost a What the Flicks, but I got another one that's way bigger than this. The judge in the red dress, I feel like she's trying to combine every accent into one accent.
Dude, she was wild.
I don't know what she was like. It was one gigantic, maybe Europea. She was Romanian and trying to be British. I don't know. The only thing it reminded me of, and this is a very deep cut that maybe Alonzo will know, the werewolf movie from Mystery Science Theater. It's a movie about a werewolf that Mystery Science Theater does.
It's just called Werewolf, I think.
The redheaded actress in there can't say the word werewolf. She says like warwolf, and they make fun of her. And this woman is doing the same accent as her. That's the only thing I can think. And she keeps going, it's some sort of warwolf. And it's a classic MST bit. But this woman is trying her best to recreate it. Those are my white ones.
I love that. It's time for What the Flicks. This is part of the show where we wonder what could have been, maybe happened, give some clarity to the questions that we still have. Alonzo?
All right. Brand, do you know an Alfred Hitchcock movie called Vertigo?
Please. I know the name, yeah.
Please. You've not seen it?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It's, no worries. Anyway, so Jimmy Stewart plays a guy who falls in love with a woman. She apparently dies, and then he meets this other woman who kind of looks like her, and he starts molding her to look more like the dead woman that he's obsessed with, like changes her hair color, the way she dresses, and it's really creepy and obsessive because it's like, it's all about
the movie.
Yeah, it's all about putting his feelings about one woman onto this other woman. How do we feel about the fact that Kevin is now in love with the identical twin of his years-long platonic best friend?
That's right.
That just screams out of vertigo sitch to me, and it makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was weird that he was just like, man, I'm just seeing you in a whole new light. These last 24 hours have really changed things.
You're finally responding to my overtures, you know.
I always thought you were hot, but gosh, being around you.
Yeah.
You're into me, and that's really hot.
Yeah. No kidding.
So they go backstage to sort this out.
Yeah. Kevin's still very confused.
He comes around.
Let's take it to the green room.
Yeah.
Stacy and Edward are then faced with a decision, and Stacy's like, I can't do this. And she runs out in front of the crowd. Edward then comes out and was like, listen, give me 1 year. The prince then gets down on a knee, proposes, and the crowd goes nuts. Guys, the crowd had no idea.
Crowd doesn't know anything.
As far as they know, he's already engaged. They start cheering. What are they cheering for? What do they think is going on? Is it everybody's cheering, so I guess we're cool with it? Because as far as they know, he's already engaged to someone that looks like her. What do they think is going on?
The prince? Maybe they thought that it was part of the prize of winning the baking competition.
I don't know, man.
It was that you also get a proposal.
The crowd is watching their prince proposed again to a girl that looks like the girl that he's already in. And they're just like,
the already engaged prince proposed to the baker. Yeah.
They all cheer. I want to know if they knew what they were cheering for.
Man. Maybe they're all terrified of him and they're just like, okay, that's whatever great. It is, we're in favor.
As long as you're happy. As long as you're happy.
You do you.
That's a huge leash. What the flicks. Mine, I just feel like, and maybe it's just me because I get the feeling it's going to be me. There is no magic in this movie. This is a straight up, hey, we're cousins, but all of this is supposed to happen in the real world. Yes. So why in the fire is that one dude in this movie? Why is he here?
Okay, nope. Santa, who is not Santa, keeps popping up at all the places he needs to be to nudge things along.
He just kind of says, you never know. And John Lennon says he doesn't do anything.
No, he pretends to have car trouble, which is how they get Kevin out of the toy store before he realizes that there's two of them there. He talks to the queen. Like he is Santa ex machina.
Yep.
He pops up to like help push the plot to where it needs to go. It's not, they don't overdo it, but he needs to be there the reason,
just,
the times he's
just
there.
Just yes or no, is he in the sequel?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I want to say no.
Okay. Didn't make any sense. Like, I felt like it was so, like, unnecessary to have this magic component when the rest of this movie is supposed to, they attempt to explain everything away. But this one guy keeps popping up like, you never, ooh, look out. Like, I just don't get it.
Twins and Santa is a lot.
It's a lot.
They did make it work.
That's right.
I will say, and this was one other, that I just forgot. Like, Kev's whole thing about Stacy is that she's two in the box.
Yeah.
Like, never changes. Like, the whole time that she is the princess, she's all over the place.
Yes.
Like, what if we spent this afternoon doing something that wasn't planned? She seems very, like,
now she says like a schedule's important and all this stuff, but she doesn't. She acts out of the box, which is weird. It didn't. That was the one aspect of it.
Maybe the idea that she doesn't have to be Stacy for a couple days in the same way that Margaret gets to run with the regular people. It allows her to be more loosey goosey.
But I think there's one thing we learned about Kev. It's that I like everything about you except the fact that you plan things.
Yeah.
Now that you don't plan things.
Good to go.
Let's go. Let's go.
That bakery's going to be in a month and a half. Yeah.
It should be noted that like Kevin makes a living in carbohydrates and still like is rocking that box.
That's right. So that's true.
You know, kudos.
That's a what the flicks right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Man. Can't wait. We're going to do the second one next week. Can't wait for it. Alonzo, give us some parting wisdom, please.
The last year has been a nightmare, but people, I think the issue they've really been dealing with, baker or not, is food scarcity. So if you have the opportunity, if you have the means to donate to your local food bank or mutual aid organization, they really need your help.
I love it.
Love it.
Always like to hear that.
We'll be back tomorrow with the latest Busby Berksby joints.
Australia.
Australia cooking. I don't know the name of it, but we're going to watch that. And until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.